Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, in conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. This is the final episode of season one, and I'll be taking a brief break to focus on the launch of my next book in the middle school rules series, as well as several other exciting updates. But to mark this special occasion, I've got a special guest, my friend and former Bears standout cornerback, Charles Peanut Tillman. Let's get to it. Asking an author to pick his or her favorite title is akin to asking a parent to pick a favorite child. But I've got a confession to make. The Middle School Rules of Charles Peanut Tillman is my favorite in the series. Why? Because Charles Tillman was and is my friend. I first met Charles when I was covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. I remember other reporters telling me that Charles was a jerk and not to bother interviewing him. But over 15 plus years of being a sports writer, I'd always learned to be open-minded. So what made Charles a quote-unquote jerk? Because he was fiercely loyal to the Bears, and in particular, to his teammates. Because if you wrote something inaccurate or unprofessional, he'd confront you, maybe in a public setting, because he wouldn't let silly questions slide. I prided myself on being transparent in my duty and responsibility as a journalist, though never at the cost of my integrity. Over time, Charles and I got to know one another, and a mutual respect developed. Then I had the great honor to be invited to his home and to speak to his lovely wife Jackie and tell their story. Many months after I stopped covering the Bears and returned to Minnesota, Charles texted me with an unusual request. Could I help him edit a paper? For what, I asked. Charles informed me that he was working on his master's degree in criminal justice as he was still playing in the NFL and raising his family. Our friendship grew from there, and he never ceases to amaze me. We had a blast returning to Copperas Cove, Texas, where he attended high school. I had the privilege to speak to the relatives, teachers, coaches, and friends who helped shape him into the incredible man he is today. I truly love the art of reporting, the challenge of getting to know a subject on a deeper level. But aren't things always a little more special when that passion involves a friend? Yes, Charles Tillman has played in a Super Bowl and a couple of Pro Bowls, but he earned one of the league's highest distinctions, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, for his and Jackie's work with their Cornerstone Foundation. And hopefully someday, we'll head to Canton, Ohio to celebrate his induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But know this, Charles will make a far greater impact off the field than he did on the field, which is why I'm excited to have Charles Tillman on Winning Is Not Everything. Charles, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Not much, man. Thank you so much for joining me. So let's get started here. What's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
I was probably about maybe 10 or 11 years old. I lived in Eiseltum, Germany, and my brother and I, we had a football game, and my brother was bigger than me. This guy, Warren, and we ran the ball one time, and I was the blocker. And I remember blocking my older brother, Duck, and this bigger kid older than Duck was Warren. I remember blocking both of those guys, and I pancaked him. And that was probably the first moment I was like, yo, I'm pretty good at this. I can do this. So that was like that was a defining moment in my young football career. Cause that block, it gave me some confidence because I was small, but I packed a powerful punch. So yeah, that's a good memory.
Which coach encouraged and inspired you most when you were younger?
Andrew Swayze. He was a guy that challenged me. Coach Britton, Coach Southern, Coach Bartell, you know, those were my position coaches, defensive coaches. They really challenged me to be a better version of me because I think they saw some things that I didn't see, and they really kept me focused and just kept pushing me and just they challenged me. You know, I'm a guy who loves challenges, and they really challenged me to be the best version of myself all the time. And one of the best lessons Coach Britton would say, you know what character is? He said, character is doing the right thing when nobody's watching you. I still remember that to this day. So, yeah, I tried to live up to that and just have good character. If someone dropped a wallet, would I be the guy to take it or put it in my pocket, or would I just try to find that person? You know, that's what I used to think the character was. When no one's watching, you got to do the right thing. So, Yeah, that really stuck with me.
What was the most valuable lesson you learned through a challenge or defeat?
Just being honest with yourself. You know, you're when you lose, you don't really want to put the finger or point the blame on yourself. It's easy to say, to kind of downplay your mistake and throw the shade towards someone else. But when you lose, it's, yeah, take that finger and point it right at yourself and say, yeah, what did I do? Or what didn't I do? How could I have played better? How could I have done this better or that better? When I was in college, I mean, we would lose games all the time, but I would still be like, well, I played a good game. We had a lot of players who didn't care if we won or lost. And they would quit during the games. Like, they just wouldn't try hard. So when you're around a bunch of guys that think like that, I had to change my thought process. And it was really, I need to focus on me playing good. Regardless of what anybody else does, I'm going to play and do all the rules and go over my reads. I'm not going to do my own thing, but I'm going to go out here and give it everything I have. And I would have great games. And after the game, we'd lose by 30, 40 points. But I'm telling myself, hey, man, I did my job. If I would have had the attitude of, man, we lost, I think I would have had a terrible college career. I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all. Even though we lost all those games, I still have fun playing football, you know, because I was out there and I had a mission. I'm going to do my job. And that's kind of how I thought. But when you get to the league, everyone's trying to win. No one's quitting on you. So that really changed. And Lovie Smith was a huge proponent of, when you lose, hey, point the finger at yourself.
Is an unsung hero from your childhood, ideally someone, you know, key to your development as a student athlete who's not related to you?
Miss Hodge, she's a chemistry teacher at my high school. And every week she used to make this sound. She used to go, "Rah, rah, Charles, no man, you can't do that, man. But she would speak wisdom and knowledge, and her whole goal in life was to see us, her students, succeed. She was from Jamaica or somewhere in the Caribbean. I'm not too for sure, but she just wanted us to live life and enjoy life, because she had that opportunity. And she's from another country. She came here and she had kids, and she's a teacher, and she just wanted us to succeed. That was like her biggest thing in life, was us succeeding. She used to give great lessons and little nuggets of life, man. You know,
what's one of the memorable ones for you?
I think probably the most memorable one was she talked about being a boss, and she didn't necessarily say it like that, but now being older, yeah, she talked about being a boss, owning stuff, traveling, living. She wanted us to get out of the small country town of Carpers Cove and go to LA, go to New York, go to overseas, go somewhere, go to Spain. You have choices, you have options. Explore and use all those options. That was like her biggest thing. And she just loved education. I don't even remember any chemistry, to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you nothing about chemistry, but I could tell you she loved all her students and just really wanted, she just wanted them to thrive. Like, she took an interest in her students. And I am very grateful for that.
Do you know what you were ranked coming out of Copper's Cove High School?
I don't think I cracked the top 100, because I didn't get the scholarship to like the SEC school or the Big Ten or the Big 12. Yeah, I have no idea. Didn't even know they did it. I just know I wasn't one of the top recruits in the nation. I know that much. So, yeah.
What do you think about that, though, Charles? I mean, you had an incredible career. You know, hopefully someday you get a chance to go to Canton as well, because you had a pretty remarkable career. But what does that tell you about the process, you know, that a player of your talent and capability who could play as long as you did in the NFL at that level could not even pop up on any radars?
People didn't appreciate the talent. I don't think you really even need the the rankings, because they, at the end of the day, they don't really mean anything. You know, we see it all the time. I mean, we see players who are undrafted. I think being a five-star athlete, it means absolutely squat. You know, I won, what, 6 games in college in 4 years? Going back to one of your other questions, that was probably the most valuable lesson I learned in college. Losing for so long, coming from a winning program in Carpus Cove and then going to a losing program in Louisiana, it taught me so much about, one, being humble, two, about just keep going. Because there were a lot of guys that were on scholarship that just quit because they could not take losing. And for me, it was, nah, I can't. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to just keep going. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to push myself, and I'm going to outwork everybody. And I just had that, Kobe Bryant attitude. I've seen a lot of stuff on Kobe lately about his attitude and how he just would focus and not say nothing and just try to go out there and kill it. Like, I kind of felt like that was me. To go 35th overall and just lose week after week, year after year. So for me to go 35th, I'm extremely pleased with that. From a school that virtually no one has even ever heard of. And if you hear Alex Brown tell the story, we got who from where? And then I go out, have a career. I made the Bears all-time corner list or all-time defensive list out of 100 years. Wasn't highly recruited out of high school. Didn't go to the best college football-wise, you know. And they've done a lot of good since then. But at that time, I say all that to putting ranks on players coming out of high school, because I'll destroy those rankings. They mean nothing. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish.
One of my favorite chapters of the book, fittingly, is chapter 33, Committing Goals to Writing. Tell me how important the decision to make that list was to your life story.
Plays a huge role, huge part of my life. And I don't really know where the goal setting came from.
I'm guessing that came from Ms. Hodge.
It must have, but I read this book once I got to the league, and it's called The World's Strangest Secret. And in the book, he tells you to write down a passage, a biblical passage. But he says, you know, write this down, and then on the back of it, you write something you want, right? Mm. Now, I'm 3 years in the league, and I write Pro Bowl on that card. I carried that card in my wallet until 2011, from like 05, 06 to 2011. Had that same index card, carried it in my wallet, made my first Pro Bowl. Okay, now what am I going to do? Put an X through it, master's degree. That's what I want to do. I want to get a master's degree now. And in this book, he talks about writing goals. And he goes, you can't quit, even though it might take you 5 years, it might take you 6 years. Don't quit. Now, no one ever told me that when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but playing in the NFL was something that I've always wanted to do. And I chased that goal up until I was 22 when I got drafted. From the time I was 5, 6 years old up until I was 22. It's a long time to be chasing a goal. Hmm. But I never quit. I had a plan to get, you know, high school, you know, junior high running, lifting, high school, gotta get a scholarship, I gotta do good, gotta get these grades, you know, you gotta pass the SAT, college, you gotta graduate, you gotta have good character, you gotta have these great games against, you know, ranked teams. And it was just, I had already had this cycle of goal setting. No one told me about it. It was just, I don't know. It was just in there. And once I heard the book by Earl, it was just reaffirmed. And I think that's probably the coolest part though.
As a father, what are your two biggest priorities for each of your children's youth sports experience?
Teaching them about the game that they play, trying to let them be a student of their game or of their sport. Don't just be at the game. be in the game. Meaning, if I'm not in the game, I'm still paying attention. I still want to know what's going on. I still want to learn about how the offense, how the defense, how the other team is attacking us. I want you to be able to see and understand that. So, yeah, wanting them to become students of the game is probably my priority right now with the sports that they play. And, you know, just getting them to focus and study that side of it and not be a robot.
Maybe there's something that you just have a certain wisdom or perspective that you're not as worried about for your own children.
Yeah. So one of the things I notice with youth sports is they don't like to tell the kids that they've done something wrong. It's all about being positive. And you can be positive and still tell a kid they did something wrong. It's not that I'm yelling and cursing, getting in your face, but I watched my daughter play a volleyball game and the girls were just kind of, it just seemed like they really weren't in it. She called a timeout and I'm ready for the coach to like, yo, girls, wake up, let's go. And give them like some type of a motivation speech. And it was just, she just kind of stood there and held her clipboard and I'm like, that's it. So I asked my daughter, I was like, well, what did the coach say? Because they ended up losing. She's like, oh, yeah, we did a good job. And I'm like, do y'all even care if y'all lose? You guys were messing up. You know, I'm not yelling at y'all, but hey, you have to be better. It's this, this, and this. I need you guys to like coach them up. And again, they lost the game. And I know it's not about winning and losing, but if you out here, I need you to give me your best effort. And the girls kind of, they just kind of lost it. They lost that edge and the coach never really tried to correct it or step in and say, hey, ladies, focus. And, you know, there were mistakes made and it's, you know, not, you don't have to point the finger, but you can coach them.
Absolutely.
You know, you can coach them and say, hey, we stunk at the end.
You achieved and thrived as a pro athlete. Given your unique perspective, what's one message you'd like to share with sports parents out there?
Don't live your dreams through your kids. I see a lot of parents who yell when their kids do terrible or they don't do so well. And you got to think the kids' mind, they're not mature enough to take all that pressure from their parent. But these parents that go out there and they're obnoxious, they're just, yo, we not playing. Let your kids play. Like this is about them, not us. We're the old fat retired people. So let's let them do it. Let's not live our dreams through our kids. Let's let our kids live their dreams for themselves. I hate seeing the parents that think they know everything and they're trying to tell it. And I don't know if you ever see me at my kids' games, I'm absolutely quiet. I don't say anything. Hey, nice job. I actually cheer for the other team. When I see another girl scored on my kid, I'm like, hey, that was nice. I got to give credit when credit due. And you got the parents are just so snide. I can't be around them. My wife, she cheers and screams and yells more than me. I'm the quiet one. I'm calm. I'm reserved.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for this first season of Winning Is Not Everything. If you like the podcast, please do this for me. Subscribe to the podcast, write a review, and share. Lastly, let me know what you like and what you think could be improved. I'm very accessible through the Winning Is Not Everything Facebook page or on my Twitter or Instagram accounts, where you'll see some of my exciting updates for the coming weeks. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.